You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
October the 30th, 2020. The last weekend ahead of the election next week. And the campaigning is spooling up. Trump and Biden will be in Minnesota today. Obama might or might not join Biden in Minnesota. But apparently Obama is going to be on the trail with him in Michigan. Trump, by the way, in reference to Minnesota, I should say, because of their directives from the governor, he said, we will hold the rally audience to only 250. He said, we were planning for as many as 25,000 in Minnesota, but the governor at the last moment is only going to allow 250 to attend, so that's what we will do. That's going to work to his advantage. It's going to infuriate those who are not going to be able to go in because they were looking at least, you know, that have a chance. Not so much now. Joe Biden has made it clear that if he wins, we will transform America. Is that what you want? And Nancy Pelosi is acknowledging, I will help him. She said, I'm confident Joe Biden will be elected president. And when he gets in, we will work with him. And we will move forward. And do what we need to change America. Of course, to what she sees happening and what those around Biden and the far, far left see happening are probably going to be at odds with each other. In the meantime, this story coming out, that group of Russian hackers accused of meddling in the 2016 U.S. presidential election earlier this year target email accounts of Democrat state parties, or parties, I should say, in California and Indiana, and an influential think tank group in Washington, another one in New York. All of them apparently flagged by Microsoft. No evidence that they actually had anything that changed, but supposedly were doing that, and supposedly it would involve Russian hackers, but now everything's blamed on Russia, right? There's a leaked confidential document that Breitbart News says it has, that comes from a group titled Take Action Minnesota. And in this document from this left-wing group, they fear a possible Trump win, and they are already preparing for post-election mass unrest and planned strategic disruption, not only in Minnesota. That's where they're targeting with this document, but I will tell you this, we've already heard and seen reports over and over again. Expect that across the nation. That's if Trump wins. Don't think that if Trump loses and Biden gets in, everything will be quiet and calm again. It will not. They will consider they have a mandate to do whatever they've been doing, which means back to the streets, back to the looting, burning, assaulting police. They will look at it as if the city had won a World Series like they did in L.A. And they were out not just celebrating, but looting and torching and attacking police. Department of Justice now confirming, apparently, the FBI has opened a criminal investigation into Hunter Biden and his associates. They actually opened it in late 2019. According to Sinclair investigative reporter James Rosen, who broke the story, it is focusing on allegations of money laundering, and it is open and active. Joe Biden still not being pushed and pressed about his son by the mainstream press. But coming up a little bit later this hour, you're going to hear a local reporter, ask a question, and you'll want to hear what Joe has to say in response. Of course, we have concerns about coronavirus in this country, obviously. In El Paso, the county judge in El Paso is shutting down everything non-essential for 2 weeks. You're going to hear from him and explain why. In the meantime, the AP reports You look elsewhere across the world, in the Middle East, the number of reported coronavirus cases above 3 million, and they think that number's even higher. So they will tell you that we are the worst. Not necessarily true, is it? But everything's on the line going into this election. This weekend is going to be critical. If you haven't voted, make sure you don't. You do vote. And if you know someone who hasn't, make sure they do vote. Don't miss the opportunity. Our nation is at stake.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Businesses, restaurants, nursing homes need to be free of COVID. So you should be contacting Wellington Environmental. A professionally trained team will disinfect your facility using powerful but safe disinfectants. And here's something new. Wellington has a line of foggers that you can use to disinfect your own facility. These foggers are in high demand, but Wellington Environmental has some for now. They cost about $500. But my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. You save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional disinfecting, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
Covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Pretty woman, walking down the street.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
5 days left. 5 days. Millions of Americans have already voted. Over 75, I'm told. 75 million. And millions more are going to vote before this is over. And I believe when you use your power, the power of the vote, we literally are going to change the course of this country for generations to come.
The words of Joe Biden. We are going to change America for generations to come. Is that what you want? You're not a Trump supporter. You don't like the man. You don't like what he says. You don't like how he handles himself. You think he's not showing class often, that he's inept, so forth and so on. I have also numerous times chastised and spoken out against Trump on something he's done or not done. The biggest thing they're pushing, of course, right now is COVID, and they want to blame him for 200,000 plus deaths, all on his watch. Yeah, he was president, but what he did in the beginning was criticized by the left, saying you're xenophobic, you're racist, you're shutting down flights from China. No need to. And then later they claim you didn't shut them down fast enough. That's just the resist movement. He's never going to do anything right for them. And they're going to pull the race car. Tell us again. Will you speak out against anyone with a Klan and so forth? He's done that repeatedly. And I think every time now it's raised by the Democrats in whatever way and form they choose to do it, I think most of the American public, the rose rises, really, again, is that all you got? That it? And here you heard Joe Biden. This was at a rally last night in Tampa. 5 days, 5 days. We're literally going to change the course of this country for generations to come. By the way, his remarks, 5 days, reminiscent of what Barack Obama had said in 2008, 5 days before the election. And he was speaking in Missouri at that time. He said, I have just two words for you tonight. 5 days, 5 days. After decades of broken politics in Washington 8 years of failed policies from George W. Bush, 21 months of a campaign that's taken us from the rocky coast of Maine to the sunshine of California, we are 5 days from fundamentally transforming the U.S. of America. Well, he did try to make some changes, Obamacare and some other things, obviously. But when you look at what the agenda of the real progressive left is today, Obama would not fit their mold. They might use him as a Trojan horse like they're using Joe Biden. Now, Joe Biden continues to insist. He made a statement even. I'm not a socialist. He said, I beat the socialist. He's referring to his former rival, Senator Bernie Sanders. But his rhetoric has become more radical since he got the party nomination. But just last month, he said, I beat the socialist. Yeah, but Bernie Sanders is already looking at becoming one of your cabinet officers, as is Elizabeth Warren. And you're going to have a VP, Kamala Harris, who has the most liberal voting record in the Senate. So, no, he's socialist. All those three I named are socialist. Biden will be socialist or he'll be out the door if he gets elected. You cannot allow that to happen if you value this nation and what we stand for. I'm talking about everything from your religion to your freedom of speech. And I don't mean just because if you side with one particular group that you have true freedom of speech. And the Second Amendment and the Constitution as a whole. If it means anything to you, you need to defend it. We've done it on distant shores, and we need to do it right here going into this election coming up. They are facing off today, Biden and Trump, in Minnesota, considered a crucial battleground state. There have been reports that Obama's going to join Biden in Minnesota. We know he's going to be with him in Michigan tomorrow. Now, both Biden and Trump were in Florida yesterday. All the focus is on the states that they consider swing states and that are in play. And the campaigns at this point are not going to spend any money, any time, and no major candidate or even a major candidate surrogate in any state that isn't crucial at this point. If they're not in your state, not going to be over the next few days, they think you're a lock one way or the other. And in Texas, well, before I leave that, go back to Minnesota for a moment. Trump is in Minnesota thinking he can carry that state. He lost it 4 years ago to Hillary, but just barely. Richard Nixon was the last Republican to win the state of Minnesota. That was his 72 landslide election. So Trump is convinced, I can still do it. The votes in the rural county, you get outside the Twin City, suburban blue counties, I've got a chance to carry that state. We came close last time. This time we could make it happen. We could make it happen. In fact, a Minnesota-based GOP strategist said, we're getting presidential visits 4 days out. That means we're in play. You see all the polls coming out. You have a hard time deciphering, is this good, that real, is that existing? Well, let me give you the view of a leftist, filmmaker and activist Michael Moore. Back in 2016, he said, ignore the polls that are showing that Trump's going to lose and Hillary is going to win. By that point, polls were saying she's 90% locked. I mean, maybe 94%. And look what happened. And Michael Moore was one of those, the canary in the cage down in the mine saying, there's danger, 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 and no one listened to him because they thought, he doesn't know what he's talking about. It's a lock. Well, he did know then, and he's doing the same thing now. Just listen.
Listen, don't believe these polls, first of all. And second of all, the Trump vote is always being undercounted. Pollsters, when they actually call a real Trump voter, the Trump voter is very suspicious of the deep state calling them and asking them who they're voting for. And it's all fake news to them, remember. So it is not an accurate count. I think the safe thing to do, this is not scientific, I'm just saying from my experience of being a Michigander, whatever they're saying the Biden lead is, cut it in half right now in your head. Cut it in half, and now you're within the 4-point margin of error. Mm-hmm. That's how close this is. That's how desperately close this is.
That is Michael Moore appearing on the Hills television program. And he said, I'm from Michigan, and I see that, you know, we got to be real careful here. That's a very big state, obviously. And they look, that's part of the Blue Wall, along with Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Minnesota. And all of those are now in play, it appears. Last time around, Hillary kind of ignored a lot of the Rust Belt. I don't need to go there. I mean, come on. Come on. We got that. That's part of the Blue Wall. Nobody, no Republican gets through that. And if you remember, and I'm sure she doesn't want to be reminded, but Bill Clinton was kind of shuttled off and no longer part of the campaign around that period of time because he was one of the ones saying, you got to go in there. You got to be there. You got to be seen. You got to make some noise. You can't just walk away from it. They didn't listen to him. And I'm sure that night he's sitting there drinking a little bit, watching Hillary implode and thinking, yeah, I told him. Another issue, of course, is Texas. Texas is a red state, but blue centers that are growing. Partly because of so many from California and New York and Connecticut and New Jersey leaving those blue states because of the taxes and all the other issues, crime, homelessness. And then they go down to Texas and they say, well, we'll plant our flag here and we'll start bringing those programs here. I would think they would have learned, don't duplicate what we just left. That did not work, obviously. But they are causing enough noise that there's some question about Texas. Or is there? Well, look at where Kamala Harris is. Kamala Harris, she's in Texas today. Trump won 4 years ago, 9 points. Won Texas by 9 points. Now, Senator Ted Cruz at that time was in a race with Beto for the Senate, and it was a pretty close race. Barack Obama lost Texas by 16 points in 2012. Obama lost by 16 points in 2012. Trump won by 9 4 years ago. And now it's supposedly in play? Well, if you look at the fact that they're putting Kamala Harris down there, she's going to be in Fort Worth, Houston. Fort Worth is not necessarily blue, nor is Houston. There are pockets of it. She'll be in McAllen, along the border, kind of, and they're trying to appeal to Latino voters, trying to pick up some for Joe. But that's where she's going to be, and I don't think that's going to play for them. I think it's a waste, but I'm fine. Let her go down there, and I'll bet when she saw the itinerary, okay, Fort Worth, I know Fort Worth. In Houston, oh, yeah, here's McAllen. What? Why am I going to there? Because we want you to get down there and bring Latino voters in. But is Texas really in play? Senator Ted Cruz, Texas Republican, being quoted by a staff member for the New York Times, is telling him it's a real race. Now, I have to ask, because Cruz is a very sharp politician, when he says it's a real race in Texas, is it really? Is it really? Or is he just trying to make Democrats think they have a chance so they go down there and spend some money and time in there? And they have no chance in hell or in Texas. But he thinks, yeah, let's go ahead and, you know, it's kind of like you put out an injured list of your players. We're not sure if our quarterback's going to be able to play. We won't know the game time. It'll be game time decision. And then the other team has to start figuring, well, who are the backups? Who's going to be? What do we do about them? How are we going to handle them? I wouldn't put it past Senator Cruz to do that. Or then again, maybe he's being honest about it, wanting to make sure that Texans, Republicans, conservatives, realize how valuable and important it is and how tight it is, and they make sure they get out and vote. My brother lives in Texas. They voted as soon as they could a couple weeks or so ago now. And they're kind of seeing the same thing around most of Texas that you see in most rural counties and various states across the Midwest. Biden signs come in third. Trump signs might be second. The number one sign in most places is either firewood for sale or hay for sale. But Nancy Pelosi, she believes she knows what's going to happen, and she's planning her next move.
I feel very confident that Joe Biden will be elected president on Tuesday, whatever the end count is, but on the election that occurs on Tuesday, he will be elected. On January 20th, he will be inaugurated president of the United States.
God, I hope not. I'll repeat again what Joe said earlier. We're going to change the course of this country for generations to come. I don't want my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren growing up under socialist, communist-type regimes. Battling coronavirus. In Texas, El Paso County basically is being shut down. Close it up. COVID is here. Is it a real issue or is it a political gamble at this point in the election in Texas? Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
So based upon the advice and recommendations of medical professionals and hospital administrators, effective at midnight tonight, I'm ordering a shutdown of all non-essential services for a two-week period.
Those are the words of the El Paso County top elected official, the county judge, saying we're shutting down everything except for essential services for 2 weeks because of COVID. Announcing it last evening. Starting at midnight last evening, he says all the voting polls and everything will still be open. All essential services such as funeral homes, grocery, drug stores, health care, government, they'll be open. El Paso County, according to the 2010 census, population about 800,000. The sixth most populous county in the state of Texas. Sixth most populous county in the state of Texas. And when you get into El Paso, it's estimated the number breakout, I should say, in El Paso is 80% Hispanic. Now, when he says they're shutting it down, he said the truth is persons are dying or El Pasoans. They're not in Austin. I have to do something. They may not all be El Paso citizens. They may well be Mexican citizens legally coming across the border to do work in some of these businesses, which may now be shut down, or maybe some of the ones they were doing will not be shut down. But he made a point. They said, I had to do this because we had conversations with Texas Governor Abbott for support, and they were not fruitful. Now, right there, you have to say, what are you saying? Is this a political issue again? You're playing politics at this point? Now, according to the stats, if the stats are right, they've had, obviously, difficulties in El Paso increasing. In fact, each day for the past week, they're reporting confirmed cases in El Paso County, 1,000 new cases each day of the past week. And they're saying a lot of persons with health problems are choosing not to go to the hospital because they think they're going to be turned away because of the COVID-19 crush anyway. The governor of Texas had issued recently allowing non-essential businesses to reopen to 75% capacity. Well, now the county judge, who's a Democrat in El Paso, says we're not getting what we need from the governor, so I'm making a decision. And again, here's his explanation.
For context, El Paso is currently on stage one on the COVID-19 community scoreboard as of today. There are 14,359 active COVID cases in El Paso County. As of today, El Paso's COVID-19 hospitalization rate is 44%. This is 365.2 increase from the beginning of the month.
Well, those are his stats. I'm not in a position to question them. Let's say they're accurate. Maybe then they do need to have some kind of increased restrictions in that area, which is really what we've been saying about COVID all along, that if you have an area where it's a big spike, then you're going to have to do something. But you got to be careful that it's not the restrictions aren't being used and politicized. There's a big issue in southern Illinois and the western edge of Illinois near the Missouri border. They're claiming that they need to have more restrictions there, and a lot of businesses that open now being told you got to shut again. And they say, I don't see why, because it's not that big of a deal. But that's a decision made. All right, let's turn our attention to what's being ignored by the mainstream media. The Hunter Biden story. Oh, yeah, we're not done with that. I want you to keep this in your mind as we go through the weekend, because you're not going to hear about it from the mainstream media. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Throughout 2015 and 2016, while Joe was still the sitting vice president of the United States, these guys had been doing extensive work around the world in places like Oman, Luxembourg, Romania, that I was being made aware of, but I obviously hadn't come off the bench and agreed to be part of this.
I'm sorry, I've got to interrupt you there. Oman, Luxembourg, Romania.
Correct.
So they don't speak any of these languages. Neither one of these guys has any record of success in business. Neither one has a background in international business. Why would they be doing business in Oman, Luxembourg, and Romania?
Because they have relationships and they have the Biden name that they're able to set up meetings and get people to jump through hoops in an interest to garner favor with the sitting vice president, Joe Biden.
That's Tony Bobulinski. And, of course, that is part of the interview he did with Tucker Carlson previously this week, about what he knew about the Hunter Biden email and computer that the New York Post broke the story on. And he said, I've got some of the same emails. They were sent to me. I've got copies of them. If you recall, he showed up on the night of the last presidential debate saying, I'm coming forward. I want to make this public this night because it needs to be heard. And Joe Biden needs to be asked about this. He could be compromised if he became president. If he's got a debt or some ties to China and he wants to become president, do you not imagine they might use it as extortion, blackmail against the president of the United States? If you're looking for security clearance as a federal employee and they got anything like that on you, you're not going to get that clearance. So Bobulinski made a statement, came public the night of the debate, then sat down for an extended interview that weekend with Tucker Carlson and laid out various details. And again, he had information. He had documents. He had the same thing the New York Post was putting out. because he had it on his own phones. He said, you can see, I was a recipient. Sometimes I might have been duped as a sender as well, copied as a sender, but it was all coming out of Hunter Biden, not me. Take a look at it. He said, you don't have to trust me. Look at the evidence. Make your own decision. As I mentioned in news and commentary at the top of the hour, Sinclair Investigative reporter James Rosen now reporting the FBI has opened an investigation into Hunter Biden. He says it actually was opened back in 2019. Now, we'd heard previous word along this that the Hunter Biden computer was in the hands of the FBI as of December 2019. And the question being, why wasn't any of that made public at that point? Well, the FBI has a philosophy, a mantra, a way of doing business. If you're a reporter and you're asking about something they're investigating, they will say, we don't comment on anything we're investigating. And the reporters say, ha, 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 see, so you must be investigating. You won't comment. And said, no, the other part of our policy is we also don't comment on anything we're not investigating. It's a good policy. But now Sinclair investigative reporter James Rosen is, in his information and his sources, confirming, a Justice Department official, he says, confirming the FBI did open a criminal investigation into Hunter Biden and his associates back in 2019, focusing on allegations of money laundering, and that the probe remains active. Rosen said he also spoke with a central witness in these allegations, which suggests former VP Biden knew what his son was doing and had more involvement. He's talking about Tony Bobulinski. When Bobulinski made his statement that night to the media, bringing in his cell phones and saying, take a look, look at what I've got. No one really bothered to follow up except for Tucker Carlson. And then even when that interview ran, no one really wanted to pay attention to it. But Bobulinski admits, once I came out originally and the media was just too busy doing other things, he admits he was totally surprised.
Surprise is probably an understatement of the year. Shocked, because it would be different if this was my word against Jim Biden, Hunter Biden, and Joe Biden.
Right.
That would be a very slippery slope, not something I would take the personal and family risk on it. But I've provided more documents and facts that validate times, meetings, who participated. That email to me on May 13th was generated by somebody else sent to me. It wasn't me generating. These text messages that I've provided are Hunter Biden in the first person, Jim Biden in the first person, James Gillier in the first person, Rob Walker in the first person. It's not me generating the text messages. It's them speaking. So you can interview them. The FBI can interview them. Our government can interview them. But I was shocked that not only the media is not only discussing this, they're going to the other extreme. They're dismissing it as Russian disinformation. This country has heard enough about Russia. We went through 3 years of every day, Russia, Russia, Russia. It's just absurd.
It is absurd. It's absurd how the mainstream media reacted. CNN, MSNBC, New York Times, Washington Post all skipped the story. Skipped it. Just ignored it. That was when it even came out in the New York Post. They ignored it. And then when Bobulinski made his statement that night of the debate, they didn't cover that either. And, of course, we know what tech did. Twitter shut down the Washington Post, New York Post Facebook and Twitter accounts because they were not going to give it a platform to spread the story because they considered it was unchecked, it didn't have any facts to it, and we think it might have been hacked material, so forth, whatever excuse they could come up with. But they never applied any such excuse to anything that was brought up against Trump during the so-called Russian collusion thing. That includes a P dossier tape. On its face value, that sounded like a lie, but nobody bothered. But here's the other thing. Real journalists and journalist organizations would be saying, this is what the guy says. Let's go find a way to prove it or disprove it. Now, if you can disprove it, do so. The Biden camp's not trying to disprove it. They don't have to say anything because they know the mainstream media is not going to work on it. And what about the questions to Joe Biden? Well, look what happened with his brother, Jim Biden. Now, Jim Biden was mentioned. You heard Bob Alinsky. Jim Biden, the brother of Joe Biden. And Bob Alinsky, in one part of his interview, had pointed out that Jim was very active in a lot of this as well. So a reporter did show up outside Jim Biden's house Wednesday. I was asking him, trying to ask him, screaming from the driveway because they didn't want to get in the driveway. They're out on the street. And he's answering back, I don't want to comment on anything. Well, you want to answer anything? Nope. That was a day after Bob Alinsky had made his statement to Tucker Carlson. Bob Alinsky, the former business associate of Hunter Biden, the insider. To that extent, what about Joe Biden, the VP candidate? He had a news conference the other day. Not a single, quote, reporter, and I really use that term loosely in this case, even asked the question about Hunter Biden, the computer, the New York Post story, bubbling, anything. Not even giving him a chance to come up with a prepared statement, deny it. And before that, he came out of an ice cream shop a couple days earlier when all this was breaking, and the only question they threw at him is, what flavor did you get? Well, there was a reporter for a local television station in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, WYOU. This reporter Saturday did try to ask Joe about his son. Now, we're talking about Saturday, almost a week ago now. And you know, watch how Joe shut it down, and the rest of the media, if they didn't get the idea of what his approach was going to be, we'll just listen to how it played out.
Questions of controversy continue to tell you about Hunter Biden, your son's...
There is no controversy about my son. It's all a lie. It's a flat lie because the president has nothing else to run on. If you notice, while American people are talking about what's happening to their families, he has no plan. In the debate, he has no plan. Everything from the Wall Street Journal, every other major news outlet has said what he's saying is simply not true about my son. But it's classic Trump. Classic Trump.
Well, he's wrong about that. The Wall Street Journal and the other news outlets have not said it's not true. They haven't said anything about it for the most part. Nothing. Nothing. And Bob Alinsky said, when I made it clear that I was going to go public with this, Ron Walker, an associate with the group, friend of them, gave me a clear kind of a threat in some way.
Trying to coach me, trying to sort of say, hey, we don't want to do that. We don't want, you know, press trucks out in front of our house. I'm going to have to move. I could lose my job. All that, I'm not trying to cause any harm to anyone in this situation,
right.
Let alone Rob Walker and his family, James Gillier and his family. But basically, Rob's position was, if you go on record with all these facts, you'll bury all of us.
That's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? And you might think Bob Alinsky's made that up, right? Oh, no. He had a recording of it. Listen to the recording between him and Rob Walker.
If he doesn't come out on record, I am providing the facts.
Tony, you're just going to bury all of us, man.
There it is. You're going to bury all of us, man. Everything's been backed up. Mainstream media absolutely ignoring, not paying any attention. Understandably, right? There's another development that you probably heard about, and already I knew I was immediately going to hear about it from those who were anti-Trump, and I got it yesterday saying this is part of a conspiracy. I'll explain that story, that part of the story, in a moment.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I started singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them old boys were drinking whiskey and rye and singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So the other night, Tucker Carlson was talking about a package that they had, a lot of information relating to Bob Alinsky. I take it back. He did not say it's from Bob Alinsky, but another source. producers in New York had it. They were going to overnight it to executive producers in L.A. as they were preparing for the interview with Tony Bobulinski. They never got it. The package never arrived. Now, when Tucker's reporting this, they we've got apparently a lot of documentation, and we don't have it. It disappeared. And he said they talked to the group they had delivered, always been trusting them, and they couldn't find it. Then they later found the package open, and what was inside was missing. Well, immediately, as I met someone the other day who's a anti-Trumper, he said, hey, this story about Tucker, that sounds like a conspiracy. They don't have anything. He just made it up, and now suddenly it's all missing. I said, no, I don't believe that. I think something did happen. What it amounts to, I don't know. Tucker didn't throw the courier company under the bus, and he named the company indirect. And I now see that last night he was referring to UPS. And he said they're a reliable company. So I think maybe the company he named originally might have been a true courier group to take it to UPS. Then UPS was shipping across, and then their courier group was going to pick it up from UPS, I guess. But the bottom line is, yeah, they found a flash drive that had apparently been on the floor that somebody had picked up and put on a supervisor desk, but all the documents are missing. But apparently the flash drive has it. But the other part of the story is that they have it backed up anyway. So much for the conspiracy from the left, right? A lot of folks have had a lot of difficulty with this relationship with Donald Trump and their friends, even their spouses, right? And Don Lemon admitted last night that I've had to end relationships with close friends over their support for Trump. He said there are a lot of friends I just had to get rid of. They're so nonsensical. I had to get rid of them because they're too far gone. I try and I try and I try. I wonder if they're thinking, yeah, you're too far gone. We don't need to be your friend anyway. I know I have some friends that I'm very good friends with, and I have a relative, a sister, who is anti-Trump. I'm not going to lose my relationship with my sister or my friends over Trump or any politics. I just won't discuss it with them. I can have a conversation. I don't think they can, so we just don't do it, and that's fine. I love them. We're going to have things to do other than that. But I want to contrast what Don Lemon just said and his attitude towards people and something else that Tucker Carlson did last night. He talked about something else they get information-wise on Hunter Biden. And I want to show you a contrast as to how the mainstream media would handle it if it were flipped and it involved one of the Trump children instead of Joe's son. Listen what Tucker had to say.
There are a lot of documents about Hunter Biden's personal life that we haven't brought to you, and we're not going to, and we should tell you why. One is the obvious answer. He's not running for president. And so to the extent those documents pertain to his dad, of course. But Hunter Biden is a fallen man at this point. And I should also say that I knew Hunter Biden fairly well. We lived near each other in Washington for quite some time. I knew his wife, who was an absolutely outstanding person, a good person. I never thought Hunter Biden was a bad person. I thought he had demons, but in the time I knew him, he kept them mostly under control. At some point, he lost control of those demons, and the world knows that now. He's now humiliated and alone. It's probably too strong to say we feel sorry for Hunter Biden, but the point is, pounding on a man, jumping on, piling on, when he's already down, is something that we don't want to be involved in.
That's as classy as you can get. I would not expect it from the left if it involved one of the Trump children. I know they would pile on and everything else, but Tucker says we're not going to be involved in that part. It has nothing to do with the main story. Our Boots on the Ground reporter Andrew in Chicago says he just made aware of this. Public school students who were attending a class online only got something put up on their online service from their schools that they're in, quote, class. And he's suggesting that Chicago Teachers Union is behind it. Said that what you need to do is turn off your camera and put up a photo saying CPD out of CPS. In other words, Chicago Police Department out of Chicago Public Schools. Using these kids, as this case, a 16-year-old, to try to talk about getting cops out of their schools. You talking about manipulating kids? Just like that. Yep, they do it. Oh, with everyone concerned about COVID and what's going to happen, especially Halloween, don't do it? Well, I thought that'd be a perfect time. If you got a mask on, that's the whole idea. And make note of this. In Wuhan, China, where the coronavirus originated, not with the Donald Trump House or White House. In Wuhan, China, thousands are showing up for Halloween festivities in Wuhan, China. Program note for you, a program note starting next Monday, Monday, November 2nd. We are booking Charlie Kirk of Turning Point USA. He is going to air in my current slot 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. So Charlie Kirk will be in here at this point. I will be at 1 to 3. Listen to Charlie, and of course, stick around and listen to Larry Connors USA. Spread the word, will you? You are helping this program grow by leaps and bounds. I thank each and every one of you. And remember, if you missed anything, you can go to Larry Connors USA Facebook, hear the podcast. Have a great weekend. We'll be back Monday, and we'll be right on top of the election.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.